You've been called for the living. All the years that I lived for a kingdom of the planet, but my love serves one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that thou love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, can it be that you do not consume one of another? This is the man, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh must fulfill the spirit, and you do the flesh, and you do not contrary to one or the other, so you do not differ from the same word. But you be led by the spirit, you are not under the law, and the work of the flesh of our faith is our deeds. Adultery, or sin, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, bitterness, emotion, wrath, pride, bitterness, hatred, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and all that. Of which I told you before, and that I have also told you in past times, that they which do those things are not in unity, they're thinking of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are flies have crucified the Holy Spirit with affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desired in vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's the fruit of love. That the word love, as in the beginning, is used one time in the book of Revelation, that in that certain earth point where Paul says, the Son of God who loves you and gave himself forth. And it's found the word love that more than 4 times in the book of Revelation, that's in chapter 5. And that's in verse 13 or 14, verse 22. They surely can come. Of the background and what we look at at this point in the book of Revelation. Remember that the whole thing of it is this honor, spiritualism, or liberalism, or liberalism, which involves every argument. Those who are contending for justification by the law, Paul says, no, that's impossible. The law was never used for that. And here's what the law has presented. It is an alien factor in our lives. Will not study the design for a man who can do that work. He uses the law of human matters to be a true master. He designed brothers to fly. We're saved by grace, and we're saved by grace alone. Well, now, in this chapter, it is interesting that you finally bring in the word or the subject of love. Now, the reason we saw that they had the answer to the problem by law. But Paul here explains that no amount of legislation can change man's basic human nature. It is not a law on the outside, but it is love on the inside that makes the difference in a person's life. And we need that power, the power of love with us. Power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Before I look to the subject of love, the forgiveness of love, and things like that, let's think about that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the work that He initiates and what He produces and brings about in our lives. Look at the text of the 3 verse 2. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to walk all the times in the world with us. If we can receive the Spirit by the law or by the name of the Spirit. When we believe, we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 4 and verse 29, that we are believers, we are born out of the Spirit, as was Adam. As we were born of the Spirit. If you're children of faith, if you're of the faith, then you're children of Abraham. You are born of Jerusalem, anger, the fish, and looking at the Lord, use the Holy Spirit to the heart and give them assurance of the faith. He said, because of God's guidance, for the things that are in your heart's eyes, Allah, Father. And then the Holy Spirit is true, for the enables us to live on Christ and to glorify Him. Now, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is a very, very important thing. It's not something that we just overlook, because the Holy Spirit, in order to do His work, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. First of all, He reveals through the Word God's great love to sinners. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love, wherewith He loves, He reveals God's love to us. But He loves us, He presents and proclaims salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, going verse 1-2, in verse 5, is love, followed by joy, peace, and true all. So the Holy Spirit takes the things of God, and it is the business of the preacher and the business of God's people to make these facts known, and the meaning of them. And those three are these: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit presents and proclaims that about our salvation. We preach the Word and study the Word and share the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, then the truth and their interpretations are presented. And then the Holy Spirit calls to repentance. You remember how Paul, Lord of the Islands, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, passages, he said, God performed his declaration of the Lord that everyone should repent. And what the message was in his hands. And then he found that the Holy Spirit called faith in Christ. When Paul, living in trial, gave his final message to the church of Jesus, recorded in Acts 20, he said, "Repent toward God and thank toward the Lord Jesus Christ." He called many ways to faith in Christ in order that they might obtain forgiveness and inherit eternal life. Now, if you look at the things God has done and the good news of the glory and salvation in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't understand that. You don't really know the interpretation. You don't know the application of it. Then you must have the aid of the Holy Spirit for you to understand and know and love and rejoice in what God has done for sinners. No preacher can stand in the pulpit and have the power to make known to you the truth of God. All we can do is give out the message. It is the Holy Spirit alone that makes it known to you. Even if you're a Christian, you come to the understanding of God's truth only because the Holy Spirit reveals it or makes it known unto you. It's not your intellect or lack thereof. It is the Holy Spirit that makes that known unto you. So I saw that you ask this question: how did you find the love for this God known unto you? We can only know the love of God because of His special nature by the Holy Spirit given to us. Verse 5. And both make God given because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. This love is the spring of all our sins. It is the the motives of our basic obedience. In the Bible, for we love God, we love Him, we love His Word, love us. The hope is overall, in our hearts, the love of God. That's the way that we know. And you can read a novel, a love story, using manual or love of the example. But to know the love of God is to over our heads, unless the Holy Spirit speaks overall in our hearts. He will come unto us. So we call it the love of God. We're furnished every good word and work. We have produced in our minds and minds that Christ has. We are able to obey the pure law of our God in spiritual peace and love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the love of our neighbor has our soul. We all know the love of God in the world in our hearts. So look at verse 13, verse 5 of the letters. And he falls open to who then is a better one. It says, you have been called unto liberty. Oh, you are not living for a kingdom of flesh, but by love serve one another. Christianity is not a license to sin, but an opportunity to serve. In your name, remember, by love, serve one another. The formula looks so divided. Liberty plus love equals service to others. Liberty plus love equals license. Slavery to Jesus. You see how Paul brings in the subject of love. We love God because He first loved us. And then we can love one another. And by loving one another, we're serving one another. That is the same thing about the way that Paul uses the subject of love is this. And this is one of the people calls in this context of the principles of love. The message about love is the first of all the laws that God ever gave. I know I'm maybe blown out on a limb with some people about that. But you remember what one man asked our Lord one time? What was the greatest commandment? And he said, why was this? That I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, and mind. That is the first commandment. And the second one is find out that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these things are the law and the prophets. So the main thing about love is that it takes the place of all the laws that God has given. It is what Paul says in verse 14, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It is quoting Jesus and the law itself. But that solves every problem in human relations. Look with me over in Romans chapter 13. Every relation among human beings can be solved in that way. But you understand now that the second amendment comes into the first one. Because some people can say, well, if there's two bodies to love everybody, well, that must be preceded by the first one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, look at how this is detailed in all human relations in Romans chapter 13. Oh, no man either, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this on account of this is it the matter in which is said, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and there be two others commandment is briefly complicated in Deuteronomy 19. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If you love people, if you love Christ, Paul is saying that you will not steal from them, lie about them, cheat them, or try to hurt them in any way. Love in the heart is God's substitute for laws and for friends. You see what the Jews were doing was they were changing the law. And they were also adding questions. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, then you're not in the right way. Well, love in the heart, Paul says, is God's substitute for laws and for books. And it's written in the book of Romans, the Bible of Romans. Note the last verse in verse 1 through 3. Against such, there is no law. And what is Paul's message? What is in verse 1 through 3? The fruits of the Spirit. And what is the big first one in the book? It's love. Now, that is the Christian believers, or the correct believers, were lacking in this kind of love because, according to verse 15, they were buying and devouring one another, and they were in danger of destroying one another. You see what a lack of love can do? It involves effort to begin to buy and devour one another. You ever been in a church? Where they just nitpick about things, dividing and devouring one another. What needs to be done? Love needs to come. Love needs to love. And if you can love riches, well, that's the love that Paul is receiving here. You see, the picture here in verse 15 is the wild animals attacking each other. See, that is being set up. Law cannot force people to get along with each other. No matter how many rules or standards the church may adopt, there are no guarantees of spirituality. And each individual, no matter how many standards or rules or laws that you may adopt, it doesn't guarantee spirituality. Unless the Holy Spirit is permitted to fill our hearts with His love, strength, and suffering will rest. Both his friends and their lessons are naval realms and liberties that were actually destroying the family. Now, look at verse 42 and verse 3. Those whose lives are adorned by those virtues, by the Holy Spirit, they have not been condemned by any law, of what Paul says, because the whole purpose and the plan of the moral law of God is also known through how the Spirit of God positioned in their hearts and minds those things. Love, joy, peace, kindness, and strength, mending. Not long ago, against such, there is no law. If you are a professed child of God, you entertain thoughts of, well, the Christian mind is just a struggle. It is divorced. It is something that sometimes I don't know if I really need to do. I'm supposed that you are truly a child of God. What you're doing is trying to bring yourself under liberalism or under the law, and from the struggle. Love liberates against love, against joy, against peace, against joy, against meekness, and things that you see in verse 1 through 3. He says, against such things there is no law. No law. And Paul is offering his grace for anything, not that person who has it. The biblical lesson, as politicians might have said, but that is just too evil good things and you didn't give your eyes to the fruit of the tree. Now, look at what happens in the process of this. If you find Jesus Christ, neither understand of the whole kingdom, nor understand, but faith which works by love. Might not be the little thing in some people's lives, but faith which works by love. Well, how do you understand that? Well, how do you know the book of the Ephesians chapter 3? That book and a prayer that Paul offered up on behalf of the Christian people in Ephesus. And simply, beginning by 13. Wherefore, I desire that you faithfully write in my tribulation for you, which is in the law. But it is all by my name under the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is written, that he will bless you according to the riches of his glory, and be strengthened with might and power by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell and live at home in your heart by faith. You, being rooted and grounded in love, for what purpose, Paul? That you may be able to comprehend that you have truth with all things, what is the breadth and the width and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness, and that you may be made complete in God's sacredness, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And Christians should not contend with the superficial view of God's great love in Christ, but we ought to make an accurate instruction in this very day and know all the dimensions of God's love and all the people for us. There he is, first of all, we can see it in its breath, in its sense that all is, Jewish and Christian. Then we can see it in its sense, from eternity to eternity. And then we can see it in its sense down to the Bible, and then we can see it up to the grace. And then we can see it in its sense, where God reaches up to them, and he tells us to destroy the heaven of the saints of God, that we may be able to comprehend the love of God, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, and thereby able to comprehend. So Paul Barnes is it is love, not law. Romans 7, verse 14, for all the law fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you fulfill the law of law according to Scripture, thou shalt love them, thy neighbor as thyself, you will do well, he says. So Paul brings in the truth about the fullness of love. Love covers a multitude of things. Love is something that he brings to the Christian as human will never, ever Abraham told you that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit should draw in our hearts the love of God. Then we will begin to know about how God loves us and how we can in turn love Him. From John 3:23, and this is the statement that we will believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us and now, God's love is conventional. It's deeper than the deep ocean. It's wider than the wide sea, higher than the highest mountain. It is immeasurable, unfathomable. The Word of God. In Romans 5, God commended his love to us stand in victory, brothers, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love to the nations. In our natural state, and an unregenerate person, I have no understanding of the things of God. Before I was saved, I would try to read the Bible, and I would just throw it down and frustrate the time I did not understand anything at all about it. Now, you have been talking to us and speak to you about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus from the earthly nation and all that, but I did not understand why Jesus came. And you can't understand why. And none of that is sitting, you want to be in heaven, the small room is a bad thing. And you can call the only church that is pretty good. She is famous. And there are probably some of you who may believe in that standing situation. So how can I know when God demonstrated his love for me? Well, I know there's another text in Romans 2:22, he will spare not his own son, but he will give up for us all. That's what God demonstrated his love. He didn't spare his own son. But then I understand fully what that means. Well, I might be more than sad by love. Chapter 53, where it says, when he wrote, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But do I have the will to do? Do I have understanding of his word? Even if I memorize those passages of scripture, only have an understanding of it. As we read from Romans 5, verse 5, where it says, the love of God is still drawn in the heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto you. I can know nothing, you can know nothing, unless the Holy Spirit makes it known unto you. Jesus is the Spirit of things, not the life, the flesh. So how am I to know this love? Well, the Holy Spirit should be abroad in my heart. He's given understanding. One truth is abroad in my heart, he hears from the Word of God, and Jesus is about in the Bible in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. When he found what they were in their tongue, unto you. Anytime there is something you may know to you, it is the Holy Spirit in the Word of Christ and made known unto you. So we have to believe in the Bible, even of the Bible, who is in here on human fall, where they understand something when the Holy Spirit reveals it unto you, made known unto you. Like Lydia, who has everything. Lydia, who thought the Lord opened, and she came under the thing that Paul taught. But she opened her own heart, the Lord opened her heart. And you and I, we understand only that God, by the Holy Spirit, opens our heart and makes it known unto us. So the love of God is full abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And the Holy Spirit makes things known unto us. And the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Then the thing that I come to understand is the great love for which God loves us. And this is important. Love
never fails. Listen to Psalm 5 in Romans chapter 8. When you ask this question, what will operate on the love of God? And can you do any possible thing? And you can do by your eyes of grace that nothing be saved. Now, being able to separate it from the love of God is a good question. The preeminence of love is the first fruit that is listed among the preferences that those that follow are considered to be done first. Love is followed by joy, followed by peace, and on their own doors. The first fruit of the tree is love. And we need the golden God so loved the world and gave the only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, I have a better understanding of what God's love is all about. Can you measure God's love? Who did you love? If God would love sinners, those who have rebelled against him, who have defied him, turned their backs upon him, scorned his love, trampled underfoot, and killed the prophets, and then went through him to be God's amazing love. While we were yet sinners, God did something. I am sinners now because the Holy Spirit has shone abroad in my heart. If you have been in the Son, you should be a teacher, an example, or a martyr for this cause. You should be one to die for my sins upon the cross. He loved me and gave himself for me. Can you measure that? Can you fathom that? Can you plunge into the depths of that love? Love so amazing, so divine, that it opens my heart and my bosom. Love unconditional. And Paul's promise is to be blessed. You'll be blessed from by women who hear and keep the law. There's no law given to do eternal life. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to the one that believes. And he died in order that there might be fulfillment of the righteousness of God. What a mighty love that is. No law can deliver, but love that alone has done what the law cannot do. God, who is rich in grace, with his great love for his humanity, even when we were dead in sin and wickedness, by grace and faith, he quickened us, made us alive, reigned with each other Christ Jesus, and manifested in heaven unto whom Christ Jesus. What amazing love that is. Love, joy, peace, joy, kindness, meekness, and gentleness, there is no law. Father, in a single way, we try to look at this immense question. It reaches from eternity to eternity. There's no doubt that the eternity that allows the sinners that you will have and bring parents to us all. We understand in heaven that the saints in heaven are the children of this very moment. Let every soul see this morning that no law keeping, no legalism is worthy and makes you not a human offender. Your own love signifies your Jesus. And this moment will soon study in this one party and come tonight in the 89 classrooms in the name of the cross for our sins. What love is this? If you can follow them. Holy, righteous Jesus, will set forth your son, who was sinless, without guilt, no fault or grace in him. Be what you have, in order to redeem us from that hateful thing we call sin. You charge to him everything that you are charged. In order that you can charge to the believer in the enemy of the enemy. Thank you for such a foundation as this. If you now this morning open your heart to see and behold the great love wherewith you have loved sinners, the Holy Spirit taking the word and applying it to your heart, and you're to be praised and honored and glorified for it. In Christ's name, we ask these things.